Titus out and Brother Garner Smith this last year, and gradually we'll try to get all you preachers out that way, and maybe we'll get some of you to move up that way. We need a few more preachers up that way. But I do bring greetings from the South Park Missionary Baptist Church, and they said to make sure to tell everybody hi, and I say hi, and they also want me to mention that we do plan a conference over Labor Day weekend again this coming year, and we'd love to have you come. If you can make plans to come, we'd love to have you come. We just have a great time around God's Word. You can't go wrong when you stick with God's Word, and so you come if the Lord leads you. And haven't had time yet to get the letters out, but we'll be getting letters out here soon. But we just have a great time. The Lord's been blessing in Seattle, and we just thank Him for His goodness to us. We would like to read here from Matthew, the 14th chapter, and starting with verse 22. When I get a little nervous, I tend to speed up, and Lord help me to slow down a little bit, but you pray for me as we begin this message. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. But in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Our gracious divine Heavenly Father, we do come at this time to Thy divine presence. We do come as sinners to save by Thy grace. We so thank the Lord for Thy mercy and grace that You reached way down and You lifted us up out of that miry pit and set our feet upon a solid rock, established our going, put a song within our heart, praise upon our lips. Lord, we thank You for such a great salvation. Lord, we just praise You and we thank You for this conference. We do, Lord, pray that You would just bless, continue to bless throughout it, and our hearts have already been blessed. And Lord, we do pray that You'd meet with us in a special way. Lord, if You do not meet with us, all is vain. And Lord, we just look to You for blessings. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'd like to speak on the subject this morning, water walking times. Water walking times. As we look there at verse 29, said, "He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." If you've been saved for any amount of time, you've had both water walking times and also sinking times. We would all agree that we like the water walking and we can do without the sinking, especially right now for me. When we speak of faith, water walking, the world thinks us the fool or the nut. But that's okay. Amen. They can't see what we can see. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for the message that Brother Garner Smith preached up in Seattle and all the messages, but he preached a message that really just hit me hard. And he spoke of the things that we see by faith. And those things that we see by faith, it's real to us. God has made it real to our heart. And they can call us fools, they can call us nuts, all they want. But you know, they hated Christ before they hated us. Now, I like the solid rock on which I stand. I like the solid rock on which I stand. And we sing the song, "How firm a foundation." which is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Jesus illustrates for us in this passage of Scripture how to walk on water and not sink. First of all, we see the setting in which this takes place. It's night, the ship is in the midst of the sea, it's being tossed about by contrary winds, and to top it off, they see what they perceive to be a spirit coming towards them, and they cried out with fear. I have a daughter and two boys, daughter 19, and two sons, 11 and 13, and one of the brothers said, you should have brought your daughter down here, but anyway, she wasn't able to come, but Brother Mark Clark. But every once in a while, I take the boys out the country, and it gets a little bit dark, and, you know, raised in the city, and in the city, you can't see the stars, you know, it's so light everywhere, and they go outside and play and stuff, and it's not really that safe yet, but go up in the country sometimes, and it gets dark out there. And they go outside, 11 to 13, and they'll say things to each other. They'll hear a noise or something. They'll say, that's a cougar, or that's a, you know, and they're just scared to death, and they want to stick right with me. They become petrified or scared. Fear is real. We've all experienced fear. These that were on the ship, it says that they were scared. They were fearful. And we see there in verse 27 that Jesus speaks to them saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, this did something for Peter for a time. This did something for Peter for a time. And it does us good for a time. And it keeps working time and time again. Said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. We see in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. There's three things that we'd like to look at. First of all, Peter stepped out. Peter stepped out. And two, it says he walked. Doesn't tell us how many steps, but he walked. But it also tells us he began to sink. You know, there's no one I'd rather step out to than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one more faithful to step out to than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sing the song, we just sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And how true it is. We can step out and we can trust the Lord. We can trust His Word. You know, I was thankful when I stepped off the plane at the airport that Jim and Mark Clark were there to greet me. And, you know, it wasn't so for Brother Titus up in Seattle this last time. He had to call us. We had some times mixed up in that. You know, I apologize to him, and Brother Titus, Lord help us, we'll never do that again. But, you know, he's very gracious about it. But, you know, we can step out, and we can trust the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. He has called his people to step out by faith. The Lord started working on me to preach a few years back. I said, are you talking to me? Now, I didn't hear an audible voice like some people say they hear, but I heard and hear. I heard God spoke to my heart. And don't step out to preach unless God, you hear and hear. And if you hear an audible voice, you better run from it. But God, He speaks to your heart. And there's something within. And there's no greater calling. Amen. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, it was great. But I says, Lord, you know, it takes me a whole week to study for the men's class. I mean, how can I even attempt to preach more than once a week? Well, when I announced that the Lord had called me to preach, I preached three times the first week. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount it shall be seen. God will provide. And looking back at Moses and turning back to Exodus, the third chapter, in Exodus, the third chapter, reading verse 11 to 12, most of us probably know the whole story here, and I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing, but we're just going to look at a couple verses here. But starting with verse 11 and 12, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And then looking down at chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? He said, A rod. And then down to verse 10 through 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto for, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." We see three things here. Moses said, "Who am I that I should go?" Nothing. Your ability is nothing. But I'm gonna use you anyway. You know, if you're counting on your own ability, you might as well forget it. Because we don't have the ability to do God's work. We need God's strength. We need God's help. As the apostle wrote there in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4, he says, "And such trust have we. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of God. Yeah, we're nothing without Him. The second thing He said was, "They'll not believe me nor hearken." Brethren, you ever heard that before? Or you ever said that before? "They'll not believe me nor hearken." It's no surprise. Abraham said to the rich man, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." You see, it takes God to touch ears and hearts and eyes. God must open the eyes to behold these things. It says, "If the princes had known, they'd not have crucified the Lord of glory." If you can see these things, if you can hear these things this morning, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. The third thing, he said, "I am slow of speech and tongue." Verse 11, he says, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or dead or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" If you know, we can make excuses for not stepping out and walking. We can make excuses all day long for why we cannot. But when you make excuses, what are you saying about God? What are you saying about your God? Now, he was angered at, it even says that he was angered at Moses. He was angered at him. But we see that Moses, that he returned to Egypt, God was with him, and he did what God asked him to do. He stepped out. I kind of think that Moses was a little scared. You know, at first it scared me to go door-to-door witnessing. It scared me. You know, it might scare you just the thought of it. Who is your God? We have a great God. And He has called us to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has called us to go. Some people say, "Well, I don't have that gift. I don't know. I don't think it's a gift. I think it's a command of God." Amen. I believe that God has told us to go. We know persecution came against the church at Jerusalem, and what does it say there? It says that they went everywhere preaching the word. You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to talk to others about Jesus Christ. You know, it does something for you when you share. If we hold in all these things, we become like the Dead Sea. And we're not, you know, we've got, when we take it in, we've got to give it out. We've got to share with others. What about tithes and offerings? You know, there's some things that we might fear to do. You know, I found that God will take my 9/10 farther than my 10/10 any day. Amen. Jesus said, be of good cheer. You know, be of good cheer when you open your wallet. You know, He likes a cheerful giver, right? You know, maybe the moths are going to fly out, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Peter stepped out by faith and he walked on water. And some time ago, we heard of the first moonwalk was a big deal. You know, all these evolutionists and scientists, they were saying how, you know, there's supposed to be so much dust up there, and when they got up there was just a tiny bit. All this dust was supposed to accumulate all the billions of years, and they were surprised. They were surprised to find that there wasn't all that dust there that was supposed to be there. You know, it's not a surprise to God's people. It's not a surprise to God. You know, we know how old. We know how long. But that it was a big deal. But you know, it's a bigger deal to walk on water. And that's what God has called us to do, to walk on water. If you're a father or mother, if you don't know it by now, it takes walking on water to raise children's God way. It takes walking on water. Johnny, I told you every day to pick up your things and put them away. Every day I've told you. And these kids are supposed to be a blessing? You see, when it hit the second day, that's where we've gone wrong. You know, my dad said there was 14 kids in my dad's family. And anyway, he said that mom would call the kids to go out and milk the cows and get going in the morning. And his mom would call them and they'd just lay in bed, and back in North Dakota, cold and everything, you know. And all his dad had to do was just clear his throat. Yeah, all those feet hit the floor and they're running. We're the dads of yesterday. We're the dads of yesterday. God help us that we'd step out by faith as parents and raise them God's way. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You spare the rod, you lose the child. You lose the child. It takes walking on water, working a job with lost people all around. It takes walking on water. It takes walking on water. Listen to this one. It takes walking on water with our, quote, free time. It takes walking on water. High school students, junior high students, if you're saved, it's going to take walking on water to take a stand for Christ. It's going to take a stand. It's going to take walking on water to say no when they put the pressure upon you. You know, sometimes driving, it takes walking on water to keep from losing it. We've got to pull in the flesh. You know we're not to become angry. You know, somebody gets in a hurry, they cut in front of us. You know, this is not our world. We're passing through here. You know, let them have it. You know, I preached this the other Sunday. You know, and It seems like you preach something, and boy, man, it's right in your face next week or something. And sure enough, you know, somebody cut over me, and I was about ready to, I was upset. And I got thinking about it. I couldn't look at the guy, but I smiled inwardly. God has called us as His people to walk on water. As we look there at 1 Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. We see there in verse 20, it says, what glory is it if when you buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You know, to do this, it takes walking on water. It takes walking by faith. The flesh does not want to do that. The flesh wants to do contrary to the will of God. But God has called us to be a particular people, that we're called by His name, that we're to be a holy people unto Him. As we see there in verse 23, it says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. When we consider what Jesus Christ has done in our behalf, it's only our reasonable service. You know, why lose our joy? Why get worked up in the first place? Satan doesn't want us to be a joyous, happy people. I believe he does not want us to be happy and joyous, but we have the most going for us. And I believe, and I said this before, I'll say it again, is that we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. You know, it's not happy when you hear these things that are going on all around us. It grieves our hearts. We're going home. We're going to be at home with God. But God has called us. He has called us for a purpose. He has saved you for a purpose. And we, to follow the purpose that God has for us, we have to walk on water. As we look there at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So how do we walk on water? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Looking unto Christ. As God's people, we need to have a fixed eye We need to have a fixed eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I know a little bit about golf, and I don't know if there's any golfers in here, but it's very important that you're able to fix the target in your mind. You can't keep your eye on the target and hit the ball at the same time. And so you have to have that, it has to be fixed in your mind as you're hitting that ball to get to the target. As God's people, as we live this life, we need to have fixed in our mind the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has called us to do. As we find in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how do I fix my eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ? We hear His Word. We hear His Word. And we follow. Peter heard His Word. Come. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter came. But also he began to sink. Thoughts are running wild. You know, thoughts running wild will get us into trouble. And we all have them at times. Them sinking times. That might not be proper English, but those are sinking times. When we have thoughts that are running wild, you see, they need to be in check. We need to be spirit controlled. Word, thought, and deed. As we look over at Philippians, the fourth chapter, at Philippians 4, Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. We forget at times that we're our strength, the source of strength is the joy of the Lord. If you can't find joy in your salvation, something's wrong. We've forgotten what happened in conversion. We've forgotten how God did reach way down. He showed us our sins. He scattered our night. He scattered our night. Are we still holding on to the night? He says, be careful for nothing. Anxious for nothing. Once again, those thinking times. Anxious thoughts, thinking times. You know, I like walking on water. I like walking by faith. And God help us. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Christ Jesus. He says, think on these things. God has asked us to step out. Maybe you stepped out. Maybe you need to step out a little farther. Get out of the comfort zone. You know, I thought about, this is the biggest crowd I ever preached to. And you know, it kind of scared me when I thought about it, coming to the conference and that. And, you know, we need to get out of our comfort zone sometimes. We've got to get out. You know, we might fall down, but He's there to pick us back up.
He says he's called us to walk. Matthew 17, verse 20 says, if we have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you just say unto this mountain, depart. Do you have any mountains in your life? Do you have any mountains? You know, when we sink, it's because there's a mountain in our life. See, when we're walking by faith, we're walking on the water, that mountain is removed, it's out of the way. We need to get back on the horse. You know, that's saying, you fall off the horse, you get back on it. Get back on it. Keep going. And looking there at Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus said unto Peter, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.